D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we look ahead to Thanksgiving and look back on the blessings that brought us here.
The Mayflower Compact was absolutely critical in the founding of our nation. It set in motion a culture, a mindset of religious freedoms.
And we take a closer look at the true source of American freedom.
We have forgotten that it is only where the Spirit of the Lord is that there is real liberty.
Join us on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. This week, America stops to celebrate Thanksgiving, and we have so much to be thankful for. Even with all of America's current difficulties, we live in the freest nation on earth, and that's because of the Christians who settled and founded this nation. On today's program, we take a closer look at the heritage of freedom that we have been given, and we alert you to an effort now underway to destroy that heritage and throttle your liberty. We will also give you an opportunity to do something about it. As we begin today, the founders of America established the principles of liberty in our charter documents from its inception, all built upon biblical principles. But when those principles, along with God Himself, are pushed out of the picture, freedom goes out with it. Here's our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb with more.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government.
I believe in the strict separation of church and state. If you read your history, ACLU can supply you with some. If you don't know them, they get. The founding fathers were not Christians. They were deists. They were agnostics.
Protesting against the notion of America as one nation under God is becoming popular these days.
I feel like the church and state separation is being violated.
But what does our American history actually show?
One of the claims you hear often today is that America wasn't really founded by Christians. And it was really a result of the Enlightenment, which was a secular revolution. Now, sure, there were some Christians involved, but most of the founders were deists and so forth. That's a lie, and it's been well documented that many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were outspoken Christians and that our early leaders were Christians. But it goes back even earlier than that, to the people who were aboard the Mayflower and landed in Massachusetts. They eventually formed the Mayflower Compact, which was the first governing document in America. And it outlines that governance is through God's providence, first of all, that we have rights only because we're created in the image of God.
When the Pilgrims came here in 1620, they were blown off course, and therefore the governmental agreement they were bound by no longer applied. So they created an agreement for self-government, the Mayflower Compact.
In the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid.
It's an amazing document that children ought to read in schools, but don't.
Interestingly, more men signed the Mayflower Compact, 41 out of 41, than signed the Constitution, 39 out of the 55 potential signatories.
The Mayflower Compact was absolutely critical in the founding of our nation. It set in motion a culture, a mindset of religious freedoms. 150 years later, our founding fathers, who grew up in the wake of the Great Awakening, who had a strong biblical worldview, who understood that God created government, they understood that it was important to put God's plans and purposes in a governmental structure.
If you look back at our roots as Americans, we were founded by Christians and people who wanted to dedicate their lives and their nation to God. And we found that in all the documents that they've produced initially when they were forming their own governments, from the Mayflower Compact to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, all of those documents, especially the original with the Mayflower Compact, they acknowledged God-given rights. They acknowledged a higher purpose to life than just individualism or seeking out one's own personal happiness.
Another founding document was the Northwest Ordinance. And that's where they moved west and they had to have ordinances for how to govern out in the Western territories. And that's very heavily influenced by Christian references, biblical references. It's clear that the founders of this country said that we are free here in America only because God has allowed us to do that. And to remain free, we have to bolster our heritage and our Christian foundation. John Adams, our second president, said our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to any other. And that's because you need people with self-discipline who are raised to be responsible. You don't get that in a secular society, a top-down government like communist China or old Soviet Union or current manifestations in Cuba and Venezuela. Where the people are told what to do.
Early Americans spoke in terms of America as a city on a hill, an analogy derived from Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount.
The Pilgrims and the Puritans really leave an incredible legacy for America. I think one of the first great men of our history, even though the United States did not exist yet, was John Winthrop, who wrote that speech, Model of Christian Charity, which is that shining city upon a hill. I think really has, that echoes through our history. That's, you know, Americans think of themselves, we are in an exceptional nation. The things that the Pilgrims came to America for, they came to, you know, build this virtuous community here in America that would be different than the old world. They're seeking to escape religious persecution. It's why I think we developed the idea of religious liberty in this country, which has been so important. The generations, I think, have celebrated the legacy of the Pilgrims, especially this idea of Thanksgiving, which I think is just an incredible American holiday.
The Mayflower Compact, as well as the course of history leading up to our Constitution and our entire revolution, of course, helped the framers understand what is so unique about the American experiment, because they came from a long history of the sovereign being the king. And the king then would simply say, here are what your rights are, and your rights come from government, and we can give them at will, and we can also take them away. We don't have a king as a sovereign. We, the people, are the sovereign. Our rights come from God, our creator. And therefore, we the people retain all of our rights.
At the end of the day, Reagan is right. That is, Ronald Reagan, the president.
We are a nation under God. And I believe God intended for us to be free.
Start every day with new every morning. This newly revised and newly printed daily devotional is one of the most beloved and enduring works of Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. Jerry Newcomb. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Find inspiration in the pages of New Every Morning through heart-stirring meditations that address the issues most critical to believers today to help us draw closer to God, understand Scripture more clearly, and apply it to our lives. Contact us today to receive your copy of New Every Morning so that you can enjoy the biblical, spiritual nourishment found in this daily devotional.
As you've just seen, liberty has been part of the American experiment from the very beginning. And that freedom is uncommon in human experience. Just look around the globe today for proof of that. In truth, the preservation of freedom goes against the human nature and requires a supernatural foundation. Without that crucial element, freedom either turns into reckless hedonism or is swallowed up in tyranny altogether. Dr. D. James Kennedy shares more in this portion of his message, Freedom's Holy Light.
For more than an hour and a half this week, I had the opportunity of talking with a man who just this past November was released from 15 years imprisonment in a variety of prisons in the Soviet Union. He was a political prisoner, they said, and he was guilty of an egregious crime. He had applied for a visa to come to America. And so he spent 15 years, often in cells that had no windows and no openings in the door, which had ice on the walls, no blankets, only an undershirt, no mattress, just a board to sleep on. And he said something that I do not believe that I will ever forget. He said that Marx and Lenin promised to give to the world a new man. The new communist man was to be a new creation on the face of the earth. He was to be noble and selfless, to be concerned for the well-being of others. He was to tower above the rest of puny mankind. Well, he said, they were correct, at least in part. They have given to the world a new man. But that new man, which has been created by 70 years of atheism and repression, is a monster who has systematically had cut out of his being his heart and his conscience, all sense of morals and ethics, and has been reduced to nothing more than a tiger in the jungle, with no compassion or compunction. People who are capable of doing to other human beings things that you could not even dream of in your worst nightmares. You see, what Marx and Lenin forgot is that only the Spirit of God can make people better. It is only where the Spirit of the Lord is that there is liberty, and that there is the power to exercise that liberty for the good of others and for godliness. This same week, I talked to another man from an Eastern European country who told me that one of the bureaucrats of the government came and said, "We know that you have a way, a method of making people good. We want you to use it." Came and said this to a Christian, because you see, they don't have any idea how to do it. The communist method has abysmally failed. And what has happened in those countries is that having created these beasts of the jungle called men, they have kept them repressed by the heavy hand of tyranny for all of these decades. But now, as that hand is being lifted, they are freed from their cages and they're roaming the streets, and crime is skyrocketing. And they don't know what to do. You Christians have a way of making people good, whatever it is, whatever it involves, even if it is God and religion, do it, because what we have is moral chaos,
and anarchy. And that is always the case. When people are outside of Christ, they are either going to have tyranny or they are going to have anarchy. As Dr. Robinson said, Christ was and always has been and always will be crucified between two thieves, legalism and license. And in the political realm, that amounts to tyranny or anarchy and chaos. Well, as sad as that is, it is half a world away. But right here in our own country, we have been following in their footsteps, and we too have made the same fatal blunder. We have forgotten that it is only where the Spirit of the Lord is that there is real liberty, and a liberty which is not degenerating into license and all manner of immorality and cruelty. And so, in this country, a purblind Supreme Court over the past 20, 25 years has taken from our young people the Bible, prayer, the Ten Commandments, and now the Creator. And now we wonder, and we hear television commentators and newspaper columnists wondering what it is that has caused this dramatic rise in crime and every sort of evil in our country. They have forgotten what Ben Franklin knew, and that is, as he said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have need of masters. We have no government, said Adams, capable of dealing with an irreligious people. Did you get that? We have no government capable of dealing with an irreligious people. Do away with religion, and you do away with America. It is only the religion of Christ, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that people can be free and be good at the same time. This is a Christian nation, said a Supreme Court in a more enlightened time when the veil was not over their minds. It was known to be so from the very beginning. One of the most influential people in this country at the time of our Constitution was Noah Webster, who gave us the first American dictionary and said, "The moral principles and precepts contained in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all our civil constitutions and laws. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible." How far we have fallen. How blind have become the leaders of the blind in this nation of ours. The greatest genius of the American Revolution, said John Quincy Adams, was that it united in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity. And yet today, most people have little or no understanding of this. It is true and always will be true that it is only where the Spirit of the Lord is that there is liberty. It is only men and women in whom there dwells the Spirit of Christ who is able to turn their hearts and minds and to energize their beings toward godliness and morality that freedom can exist. It is only a people who are committed to God who are capable of being free. And wherever that commitment diminishes or is destroyed, then that liberty will inevitably turn into license, and that license into anarchy and chaos, and that chaos will lead inevitably to tyranny, and we shall have our master. Hearts set free, that is what is needed. Free because of a faith and love to God.
As John Adams said, and Dr. Kennedy reminds us, we have no government capable of dealing with an irreligious people. Constitutional liberty requires self-government. And the leftist radical elites in our country have spent the better part of the past century trying to remove every shred of moral conscience from the land. The result has been the destruction of civil society and ultimately the loss of that freedom. That is, of course, exactly what we are seeing. Recently, some members of Congress fired a shot across the bow of freedom with the introduction of the so-called Do No Harm Act, which would explicitly peel back protections on religious conscience on issues like same-sex marriage, transgenderism, and abortion-inducing birth control. Ministries like Little Sisters of the Poor, a group of nuns who've had to fight all the way to the Supreme Court on these issues, would be forced to provide their employees with abortion-causing birth control coverage, just for one example. It's yet another attempt by the left to compel dissidents to go along with their program or face harsh punishment. You and I must put a stop to this. We have created a petition to your two United States senators calling upon them to take a firm stand on defeating this pernicious and unconstitutional piece of legislation. Please contact us immediately to get your petitions, sign them, and return them to us so that we can put your voice together with thousands of others and make a true impact on defeating this authoritarian and tyrannical proposal. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to give a generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry, we would like to thank you by sending you a copy of Dr. D. James Kennedy's classic daily devotional, New Every Morning, newly republished in a beautiful revised edition. Co-authored by Dr. Jerry Newcomb, this devotional has a reading for each day of the year, rich with Dr. Kennedy's unparalleled biblical insight and wisdom. It's a perfect way to begin the upcoming new year. And if you're able to give a donation of $100 or more, we'll send you three copies of New Every Morning, enabling you to give the gift of spiritual nourishment to family and friends this Christmas. Keep one for yourself and give the others as gifts. This is the most beautiful version of New Every Morning ever published, and we want you to have it as our thanks. And whatever you do, please make sure to contact us right away to get your petitions to your two senators calling upon them to defeat the anti-Christian, anti-conscience, Do No Harm Act. You'll want to sign and return those petitions to us right away. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. A recent CNN travel video examines some of the most wondrous parts of our planet, like Mount Everest, proclaiming that plate tectonics are responsible for some of the world's greatest wonders. Well, that is true as far as it goes, but it certainly doesn't go very far. What is, in fact, very interesting, though, is the universal tendency humans have to ascribe majesty to the creation. But that sense of awe and wonder is completely misplaced if all the mountains are merely atoms and molecules pushing against each other and forcing them up. Why would something so mundane as common material forces at work elicit from us a sense of reverence? Yet the human urge to worship is almost undeniable. Even the late atheistic astronomer Carl Sagan demonstrated that when he wrote, "The cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be." Not only does he parrot the biblical language referring to God himself, but Sagan even capitalizes the word cosmos, investing it with a sort of deity of its own. And this is one of the fundamental aspects of a fallen human nature. We are ungrateful. We want to rob God of his glory and give it to others instead. The first commandment given to Moses on Mount Sinai was, "You shall have no other gods before me." Yet, as the great reformer John Calvin noted, the human heart is an idol factory, churning out false objects of worship to replace the true and living God. The question is not whether we will worship, but what or whom we will worship. The scriptures speak of this. "Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." As we enter this week of Thanksgiving, let us not be among those with darkened and ungrateful hearts. Let us, with thankful hearts, direct our worship to the only one truly worthy of it, giving thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all of our uncountable blessings. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform, and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The Bible is the most astonishing and incredible book in the entire history of the human race. And Christians have always believed that it was the Word of God.
We should believe that the Bible is true for the same reason we should believe that anything is true.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.